Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Now let's read these verses. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, the modern movements are just that. They're modern, and they are movements. The more that you move away with a movement, the more that you move away from those things that are right. Now, in this passage of Scripture here, you've been reading about wives submitting to their husbands, and wives being subjected to their husbands, and wives reverencing their husbands, and husbands loving their wives. And this is a very uncommon theme today. It wasn't so uncommon even in the world 50 or 100 years ago, but today this is a very uncommon theme. And even in the churches, it's not a theme that seems to be spoken of much. People seem to think that this is old-fashioned and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people aren't going to listen to this particular message, and they're not going to listen to what God has to say in the Bible until they see God, and then they're going to straighten up. And the reason is that most people, regardless of whatever it is, if it's this text or something else, wherever the Bible speaks to something that they don't like, the problem is that most people are self-willed and they're covetous. That is, I like it this way. I want that. This is very popular. It has the right feeling. It feels right. It hasn't hurt me. I mean, as a matter of fact, look how it's worked. You see all those little sayings? I hear that all the time. Well, that's just the way I like it, or that's the way I want it. It has the right feeling. It hasn't hurt me. It works. And when you get a society that bases its opinion, and you get a church that bases its opinion about how it's going to react and respond to the words of God based on those kinds of comments and those kinds of attitudes, you're dealing with a spoiled generation, a spoiled church that's self-willed and covetous, and consequently very reluctant to obey the words of God in areas that run contrary to the opinion of that day and the opinion of that church and the opinion of the world. Now you take a fella that has grown a big work, a big church, by bringing the world into the church. The world's programs, the world's entertainment, the world's methods, the world's promotion, you know, the world's finances, all that kind of, you take a fellow that's built a great big work by bringing the world into the church with modern music, by elevating his wife into a position of a co-pastor. You'll see that in the newspaper when you're looking for the advertisements on churches. You'll see pastors, you know, Joe and Sylvia or whatever the names are. I didn't even look to see. I just noticed that everywhere I go when I open a newspaper and you read the church advertisements, it's always Pastor Bill and Sally. You see, it's that co-pastor thing, and that's to make the women feel like they have a big part in what's going on in the church. Now, when you see a man that has succeeded in building a big work by bringing the world into the church with its modern music, its modern programs, its modern youth programs and so forth like that, elevated his wife to co-pastor, you're never going to convince him by the Bible that he's wrong, because his own eyes and his own experience have proven to him and to the people in his church that he's right. Of course, the Bible says, you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, see? And the Lord said, but you're blind and you're ignorant, because he says, know you not, you see, you're ignorant, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Just because it's working, just because it feels right, just because it's successful, doesn't mean that God's blessing it at all. The world's technique that builds businesses will build churches as well. That doesn't mean that God's in it. It just means you've got more people coming, and therefore a bigger budget, and therefore you can do more with the money. But Solomon said, money answereth all things. You get a lot done with money. Now, you take this old-fashioned notion in this text that women are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. Well, that's out of place in our society, where we've got over a 50% divorce rate, and premarital sex is fine, you know, check your partner out, live together for a couple of years, and decide then whether you want to get married, and all that other kind of stuff, where homosexuals are allowed to go into the pulpits of certain churches and preach and pastor churches. I mean, you've got a generation like that. You take this little text that we've just read here and teach on submission, and my guess is that not one person that hears this broadcast today will change their stance on this issue of wives submitting to their husbands after this study. Even though the Bible plainly says, wives submit, wives be in subjection to, wives reverence your husband. Even though the Bible is very plain, you've already made up your mind that it's old, that it's antiquated, that there's another interpretation, that there's more to it than that what you read here. And so you're going to go right on the way that you believe if you believe contrary to the Bible. Now, those who listen and hear this particular message who agree, they'll amen it. Oh, yeah, brother, because we're going to see the verses. They're going to say, well, amen, that's right. I agree with that 100%. And those who don't, why, you're going to think I'm crazy, old-fashioned, nut to think that something like this is still being used today. Why? I've heard people say, well, Paul was just a, what do you call it, a chauvinist. And this, you don't do this stuff here anymore. And you, so you think I'm crazy or outdated or a literalist or something. Well, let me just say this. If after this study you just happen to end up believing the Bible, I sure wish you'd give me a call. I'll give you the number at the end of this broadcast. I'll give it to you right now. It's area code 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. I'll give it to you at the end of the broadcast also. You know what? If the Bible convinces you, if you haven't been submissive to your husband, if you believe the women's lib unit, the little saying that they've got going on, you didn't really see that the Bible was so, but now that you see it, you want to do what God said. If you change your mind because of what you've seen in the Bible, I really wish you'd give me a call and let me know that and say, you know something, I'm convinced by the Bible that what the Bible says about that issue is right, and I'm going to do it. That way I could say there are still some people who will listen to the words of God. Now, I don't expect you to take this from me. You know, I believe what the Bible says about it, and I'm the one that's going to preach it to you today. But I don't expect you to believe this because I said it. But I do expect you to believe it because this is what God says. And let me say this. I've got a great deal of compassion on you about it. I can remember when I was first reading the Bible and I realized that rock music was wrong. You know what I did? I broke all the albums that I had. I had, I don't know how many dollars worth of those old big albums, you know, those records. I broke them all. Some of them be worth a lot of money today because they were in good shape and they're old. You know, they're traders. What do you, these people buy and sell things, trade them, make some money with it. But I threw all that out and I ripped all the cassettes up and got rid of all them. Why? Because I saw things in there about music that indicated that that kind of music was not to the glory of God. And when you do things, you're to do all things to the glory of God. I saw that the drinking was wrong, so I poured everything out. You say, well, if you didn't have to drink it, you could have served it, though, from time to time. Well, not according to Habakkuk 2:5. There, if you put the bottle to your neighbor's mouth, there's a reason for it. You want your neighbor to get drunk, and then you can look on their nakedness. I saw that. I said, well, I don't want anybody to even get the wrong idea. I'm not going to have the stuff in my house. When I saw the television was wrong, we unplugged the cable. So what'd you do that for? Well, because there was stuff coming in on that cable that wasn't suitable for me or my children to watch. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. If you bring that cursed thing into your house, you'll be a cursed thing like unto it. I said, man, I got to get rid of that thing. There's nothing good about that at all. Got rid of that thing. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm more super spiritual or anything. Don't get the wrong idea. What I'm trying to tell you is I'm compassionate about the fact that the Lord will show you something in the Bible that you may not be doing right now and may not even agree with. But I also understand what it is for the Lord to put conviction in your heart and convince you that you are wrong about something and then give you the grace to be able to change, which is what He's done in my life, and I hope He'll do in your life if you think that this Women's Lib movement is right or that women should in some way have an authority over their husbands, because that's not what the Bible says at all. Here, the Bible says, wives, submit. Now, you're going to see after we go through this text that this isn't some sort of a chauvinistic statement that puts wives down to a point where they're no better than the family dog. I realize there are some women that don't act any better than the family dog. The family dog is more loyal and more loving even than they are. I understand that. We live in a strange society today. But you take what this Bible says, and it says wives are supposed to submit. I'm going to tell you something. We've had an opportunity to travel to several countries. You get on the internet. You've seen some things. You've traveled. You know what's going on. In countries where the Bible is upheld, women are treated better than in countries where the Bible is not upheld. I don't think that kids are treating women better in school today than they did when I was a kid. And now they've taken the Bible out of school. I think that women in school are getting treated worse. We didn't ever have a thing called date rape when I was in school. We didn't have men slipping things into women's drinks like that and then taking advantage of them and stealing their virginity. We didn't have all that kind of thing going on. Didn't have daycare centers in the high school back then. Didn't have women gangs back then that had to do all kinds of vile behaviors in order to be indoctrinated into the gang or inducted into the gang. Didn't have that going on back then. People respected women more than that. Didn't expect them to do vile things. We didn't have women getting into fist fights at football games like they do today in high school. So what you're seeing in the society is that there's been a degeneration in the attitude that men have toward women. They're playthings now. Look at that way that the, what do they talk about in these magazines where they have pornography and on the internet and all this. Look how that stuff's being done. Look how these little girls are being kidnapped and abused these days. That stuff wasn't going on like that 30 and 40 years ago. So why don't you wake up to the fact that when the Bible has some old-fashioned ideas, that just maybe, those old-fashioned ideas are better than the ideas that they have today. And all those women that came out there for all that women's liberation have put women into the workplace, and now the daycare center is raising the kids, and the kids are coming out with some pretty bad moral ideas, and there's been a lot of abuse. So here the Bible says that wives are to submit, and there's some reasons why wives are to submit to their husbands. But God's a very reasonable God, and He lays it out for you so you can understand it. And you may not believe it right now, but after we go through the study, you may change your mind and line up with the Lord in this matter. And again, it's not one of those things where you lord it over them to the point that you're trying to beat somebody down into a subjection and they become a wallflower and have no life. You'll see after we check the Scripture, it's not like that at all. But somebody has to be the authority in the household. And the Lord said, the man's going to be the authority, and wives, you are to submit. They have an old expression. It's called head of household. People don't like that expression anymore. But watch what the Bible says. Wives, submit. Why? Well, first of all, because it's right. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, unto your own husbands, not the somebody else's husband that willingly talked to you, but unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Because it's right. Now watch what happens. If a woman will not submit herself to her own husband, she's not going to submit herself unto the Lord. That's in the verse here. It's implied as a corollary in the verse. But if she'll submit herself to the Lord, then she's going to submit herself to her own husband. So it's a real check on your spirituality, whether you're willing to live in a right relationship with the Lord or not. Truthfully, if you won't submit to your husband, you're not going to submit to the Lord. Now you take Genesis chapter 3. God told Adam, don't eat it, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Adam told his wife, don't eat, don't even touch it. Well, she violated both God's rule and Adam's rule, and she touched it. Not only did she touch it, she ate it. And consequently, then she put some pressure on Adam to eat it, which he did, and then the whole race went down. Well, what was the problem there? She didn't submit herself unto her husband, and she didn't submit herself unto the Lord. So don't think that you're doing something in a right relationship with God when you're in a wrong relationship with your husband. If you're not submissive to your husband, then believe me, you are not in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the verse. Because if you were, you would submit to your husband. You say, well, he's a jerk. Well, we'll talk about jerks in a minute. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about jerks right now. See, it's a convenient time. And I'll grant you, there are a lot of husbands that look like they're going to make great husbands that turn out to be jerks. And there's several problems there. A lot of times women are not very thorough in their investigation of the man that they intend to marry. They look at him. He's cute. He's got a nice whatever in his jeans there, you know, and they like it, all that conformity, and he got nice muscles in his shirt and all that kind of stuff. And he's so cute. You know, kind of got a nice mustache and all that. And they marry him, and they find out there's a whole lot more than meets the eye in marriage. The guy just acts like a total jerk, and he won't do anything the Lord tells him to do. Well, you didn't see that when you were dancing with him on the dance floor or wherever you met him. I realize a lot of people today still do it the right way. But, you know, you ought to know those things before you decide to marry, and it's unfortunate that some people get married before they check all that stuff out. The world's too much on what it looks like and not what's beneath the skin. Now, you go over there to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 1. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, the Bible says it like that, your own husbands, and there's a reason for that. I can remember when I was in the banking business in Houston, we had a large bank, probably 750 employees. There were a lot of secretaries who began to confide in their bosses about their marital relations at home. Guess what? The marital relations broke all the way to pieces, and the secretaries went off with their bosses. Why? Because they weren't subjected to their own husbands. They were subjected to somebody else's husband. There were a lot of busted marriages like that. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, there's the jerk. There's a guy that won't do what God tells him to do. They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Well, what kind of conversation is that? While they behold your chaste conversation, innocent, pure, restrained. You're not going to cuss him out when he comes home from work and expect to make any headway with him before you get to the bedroom. Innocent, pure, restrained, clean, coupled with fear. You're supposed to fear God and reverence the man. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. That's what caught him, see. He liked your looks. Now, all of a sudden, you got problems in the marriage, and Peter's telling you, dressing up pretty and fixing your hair is not going to make the thing work out. But let it rather be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price, and it is, because your temptation as a woman is to browbeat your husband when he gets out of line, to fuss with him, to get him into an argument. And the Lord said, don't do that. Be meek, that's power under control, and be quiet, so that he can see Jesus Christ inside of you. Verse 5, for after this manner in old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Well, Abraham told Sarah to lie about their marriage so that he could save his own neck. The Bible says she called him Lord. Well, he wasn't doing right by the word, but she was in subjection to him. She did what he told her to do. And you know what? God bless that old woman, literally, and gave her a baby. Now, that's pretty miraculous. Isaac, he had children and continued on to multiply the seed of Abraham in fulfillment of the promise that God made to him. Well, that's pretty good. I'll tell you, that's real good. As a matter of fact, God changed her name from contentious to princess. I'd say that's pretty good. So the Lord would do the same for you if you would be in subjection to your own husband, even if the guy's out of line with the Lord. You're going to have to trust the Lord on that one. All right, why else should you submit to your husband? Well, because he's your head, according to verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife. That means that God works on a proper authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we see that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of every man, and the head of the woman is the man. That's the proper line. That's the proper authority. So God has an authority where, that is, when decisions have to be made in the household, it's okay for you to advise. It's okay for you to speak your intuition, your mind, your thought, your concern. But then when it comes down to making the decision, he's got to make the decision because he's the head. And that's why you have to submit to him. Now, Sarah did this in a very good way. In one place, she really messed up. She told Abraham, hey, you take Hagar, have a baby by her, and that'll satisfy the promise that God has made. Well, he didn't check that out with the Lord. He went ahead and followed her advice, and it was a mess. And it is up until this day, if you know anything about Ishmael's lineage and the war that's going on in the Middle East. But then in Genesis chapter 21, when it was time to get the bondwoman Hagar and her son Ishmael out of the house, Sarah told Abraham, cast out the woman and her son. Well, that really bothered Abraham in verse 11. And in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 1, God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So in one case, Sarah was wrong, but Abraham didn't check it out with the Lord. In another place, Sarah advised, and she was right, and the Lord said, listen to her. She's telling you straight. So it doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity to advise in the decision. It's just that when the decision has to be made, number one, he has to make it, and number two, you've got to follow it. All right, now why else do you need to submit yourself to your husband? Well, because it's right, because he's your head, and also because of the church. See that thing in verse 24? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, today, you know what? Today, a lot of the church is not subject unto Christ, saved by Jesus Christ, not doing what Christ wants you to do at all. Listen, the church was entrusted with the responsibility of preserving God's words. And the church has gone off and created all these English translations of the Bible and say that every one of them is good. Everybody can do whatever they want to do there. Well, all that's happened is that every man is doing that which was right in his own eyes. So the church is not subject unto Christ as it concerns his words. And how else are you going to know what to do if you don't know what his Bible says? So right now, if you're looking to the church as a picture of how you should act toward your husband, you don't see a very good picture. But the truth of the matter is the church is supposed to be subject unto Christ. And in fact, Christ is in charge, and he will rapture the church and do things in the church in accordance with his will. And to the extent that you in the church are subjected unto Christ, you're going to have a better marriage, and you're going to also be able to subject yourself to your own husband in everything. Let me ask you a question. At what point can the church tell Christ what to do? We're supposed to be subject to him. Churches who are not subject to Christ, by the word, end up struggling with Christ. That's how you get the Laodicean church. That's how you get the falling away. That's how you get apostasy in the bride of Christ. And he said, in everything you're to be subject. Well, I'm not going to take the time to read all of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to the end of the chapter. But you ought to go over there and you ought to study Proverbs chapter 31 about the virtuous woman. You know, a prudent wife is a gift of the Lord. Are you a prudent wife? Can your husband honestly say, this is a gift from the Lord to me? Is that the way you conduct yourself? Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31 show you the virtuous woman. Let me tell you something, man. She's up late, up early, working willingly, trading at the merchants, buying a field, planting the vineyard, stretching out her hand to the poor, making clothes for her own family, cooking for everybody under the roof. Her husband is known in the gates, and with a lot of respect, I might add. She has strength. She has honor. She rejoices. She speaks with wisdom. She looks well to the ways of her household. She's not idle. Her children call her blessed. She may not be the most beautiful thing in the world because beauty is vain, but she fears the Lord and she is praised. So let me tell you something. Quit worrying so much about all the time that you have to take in front of the mirror to get yourself ready for the other men's eyes at work. And why don't you concern yourself with how you look to the Lord and fear him and be in right subjection to your husband, and you may find that the thing in your marriage turns out better. That woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is anything but a mealy-mouthed wallflower. She's a good woman, and the Lord tells you so. She's very busy. She's up and doing things. She just doesn't go along with women's lib and the NOW movement and the ERA and all that other stuff. She knows what's right. All right, now why else should a wife be subject to her husband? Because her husband loves her, or he's supposed to. He's instructed in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So there's a piece of this message for the husband as well. Jesus Christ laid down his life for the church. That's pretty good love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And a husband should be willing to love his wife as much as that. A fellow went to a preacher one time and said, "Hey, I'm not sure, but maybe I love my wife too much." And he said, "Do you love her more than Christ loved the church?" He said, No, I don't love her that much." He said, "Well, you're not in any danger. You've got room. You can love her more." Listen, a good, loving husband ought to work and make provision for his family. Now, that doesn't mean that he can buy her a four-bedroom house and three bathrooms and a two-car garage and a Maserati and all that other kind of stuff. He's supposed to be able to work to make enough provision. May have to be a smaller house and an older car. But listen, let me tell you something. If you can be home with the kids and he can come home from work and be with you, why would you want to have all that other stuff anyway? He's supposed to work and make the proper provisions for his household. He ought to give you plenty of attention and time, taking walks together, talking together, you know, just having a great conversation. He ought to be giving you care and affection, fidelity. Husbands ought to be faithful to their wives in everything. Absolutely. Eyes for your woman and nobody else. Not right for a husband to go out with his wife to the restaurant and then be eyeing the waitress and all the women at the other tables. Men, you ought to get those eyes under control. And wives, if you would make yourself pleasing to your husband, he'd look and be there to discipline the kids. A husband that loves his wife is worthy of a wife who will be submissive to him. Now, it's going to be very difficult if he's working and you're working to get better possessions. You know, a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. You'll be a lot better off having less, a morsel of bread with quietness thereof, Solomon said. You'll be a lot better off with quietness in the house and each other than you will both out working and then come home all struggled out and stressed out. It's not a very good marriage. Why else should you be submissive to your husband? Because Christ loved the church, and that's what the rest of the chapter is about, actually. Because Christ loved the church, and because Christ loved his body, which is the church. Now, Christ sanctified the church. Christ provides for the church. Christ nourishes the church. Christ gives us a glorious church. He did all that for us. And I'll tell you something, the more that a wife will submit and the more that her husband will perform those duties as Christ did for the church, the happier the marriage is going to be. So husbands should love their wives, and wives should reverence their husbands in everything. And that'll make a good marriage.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.